All right. We are kicking things off here on Jaguars today. Going to be focusing, obviously, on the Jacksonville Jaguars and the NFL at large. And there's been people kind enough to give us things to talk about today in the National Football League. So we'll dig into all that. But before we do any of that, I want to welcome you in, Ryan. How was the week?
It's been good. We're inching toward the start of camp here. Rookies will be here a week from either yesterday or today.
I know.
Followed by the vets a week from Thursday, then a week from Friday, 9:55, everybody will be on the field. So we'll be here before we know it.
It is crazy. I mean, we're 10 days away now from practice. We're 9 days away from everybody being here in town. We talked a little bit about the Marquise Lee thing yesterday, and I'm sure you're kind of on the same page as everybody else. It's not a big deal as of now. Heck, mm-hmm. For all we know, there might be a contract here waiting for him just to get back and sign the thing. We really just don't know.
Yeah, my line on that one, and I wrote about it a little bit last week, it's not a big deal. It's an interesting deal.
Yeah.
And that the fact that he's not signed and is a second-round pick, that makes it interesting. So, the people I talk to said, if they disagree on an amount or whatever, they'll just wait till the morning of camp. So, which would be, if we're sitting here next week and he's still not signed, it gets more interesting because that's a report date. So, I have every confidence that it will be done. But from our perspective, if they stretch this out another 48 hours, good talking points.
Sure. And 10 days, like we said, until they're on the practice field for training camp. The summer has flown by. As we're already getting set for camp and getting ready for that, you've been for the paper doing a 20 and 20 series. We're going to dig into some of those questions that you're dealing with, but tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, it's a way to feed the beast a little bit. We did 20 questions in 20 days leading into camp just to keep the blog a little fresh. And so basically trying to tackle a little bit of everything in terms of rookie receivers. Yesterday was Cendric Marks' playing time. Will it go down? Expectations for Toby Gerhardt. What's going on with the Tennessee Titans? Because they're behind the Jags in every power ranking, and probably justifiably so. So I'm just picking one little topic a day. A lot of these things we'll revisit during camp. So we're doing those questions, and then the position previews are running in the print edition every day.
Sure, and we'll get into some of those questions that you've been addressing there in that 20 and 20 series here in just a few moments. But you mentioned power rankings, and another one came out here in the last day or so from Ron Jaworski, who's looking at the quarterbacks, doing his ranking of the 32 starting NFL quarterbacks that he's done annually now for ESPN for a while. And we'll let you know where Chad Henne comes in. Last year, he came in at 29, despite the fact that we all knew Blaine Gabbert was going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
He had Chad Henne in his list, but he had him in at number 29. Where does Chad come in this year? We'll let you know a little bit later on in the show. And Jags fans, once again, may be pleasantly surprised that where Chad Henne is and the Jags on another list.
Pleasantly surprised by who's behind him.
Right.
In terms of, as it relates to the division.
Right. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. This state in football history, there's actually a guy that I find quite interesting. His birthday is today, so we'll get to that a little bit later on as well. And we'll continue our tour around the National Football League. This week we're focusing in on the AFC East. We'll have Hal Habib on, who writes for the Dolphins and all Miami sports, really, for the Palm Beach Post down there in Miami. We talked to Andy Hart about the Patriots yesterday. We get to the Dolphins today, and the Dolphins are an interesting team given how young they are at some positions, especially quarterback with Ryan Tannehill, as he's still adjusting to life as a quarterback in a lot of ways, especially in the National Football League. And, we were talking just yesterday, Mark Long and I, about the future power rankings that ESPN did, looking at trying to project it for 3 years, and the Dolphins were putrid in that thing. I mean, they were 30th or 31st, something like that. The Jags came in at number 23, so not a lot of belief in the future of the Miami Dolphins, at least.
Really, and we'll get into this with Hal, is nor should they be. Nor should there be, because you look ahead a couple years in the future, probably going to be a new head coach. First-year general manager Dennis Hickey's in this year, so they made the decision and ownership is to fire the GM, keep the coach. Track record that around league of that working is not really great. It's one of the reasons why Shad Khan decided to go new last year. You know, Pouncey, the center, is banged up. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line's a mess because, you know, Incognito was terrible, but then he, you know, got kicked out of the league, basically. So there aren't a lot of – I just don't – it's a very nondescript team and who spent a lot of money in free agency on guys that probably aren't difference makers.
Sure, and I think that's probably the interesting part of the Dolphins is – it's almost like they felt like 2 years ago they thought they were close. I don't know what they thought they were close to, spending the kind of money that they did in free agency, but that hasn't paid off for them, and it's that formula that we've seen in the National Football League. If you're trying to build a team through free agency, it doesn't work out for you. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way this league is built. It's built to be you pick up your pieces in the draft, and you supplement those pieces through free agency, and if you want to go grab guys like they did, guys like Mike Wallace and Danelle Ellerbe and these types of players, then you do it when you're close, not when you're building. You make those kind of moves when you're close to something, and the Dolphins are kind of paying the price for that now.
And last offseason, before the 2013 season, they spent, like you said, millions. They went the more economical route this year with Finnegan. Earl Mitchell's a good player that he left Houston. They spent a lot of money on Brandon Albert, the left tackle from Kansas City. So they've acknowledged that they haven't drafted well. The Deion Jordan thing isn't working out. He'll be suspended to start the year. But
yeah,
when the Dolphins come to Jacksonville in late October, that's a game the Jaguars should win. And look at their schedule. They need to win because after that, at Cincinnati, Dallas, and London, bye at Indy. So it's the only home game in a span of 5-6 weeks. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a Miami team that they certainly should be capable of beating. We'll see what the team looks like when we get to that point, which brings us to the fan feedback spotlight question of the day. And thank you, Mr. Gil Brandt.
Gil.
I'm sure he said what he said because it's oh so important if you're going to write an article about a surprise playoff team that you get all those Jacksonville clicks when you work for NFL.com, which makes me think that he's actually genuine in his belief about this Jacksonville Jaguar team. But last night on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Gil was having a discussion about who the surprise playoff team in the National Football League was going to be this year, and he quite simply said, you, Jacksonville. The Jaguars are his pick as the surprise team. He's going to write up an article. It should be up on NFL.com at some point today. It's not there yet, but as soon as it is, obviously we'll take a look at it. But Gil Brandt said that he likes the Jags as his surprise playoff pick, so we're asking you in the fan feedback spotlight question of the day from Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, do you think the Jags will make the playoffs in 2014, and why or why not? You can respond via Twitter, at 1010XLFatTony, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XLLauren. We'll get to those responses a little bit later on. You can also go to our Facebook page, Jaguars Today, on Facebook, and respond there. I've already had one that made me laugh out loud, because they are playing the pandering game and playing it very well. As we'll give out a free T-shirt to somebody today based on their response, but we'll dig into that as well, whether we think that Gil Brandt is crazy or if there's a legitimate chance for this Jaguar team to potentially make a run at a wild card in what is a weak AFC. And I think that's what we need to look at more than anything, is where is the AFC right now after you talk about the top two teams really in the conference with Denver and New England?
The AFC's in the toilet. And that would be, I mean, I think that's what Gil's looking at, is he's looking at past history. There's always a team that comes out of nowhere that had double-digit losses who turns around and makes the playoffs. When you say a team, when you pick a team that's 4-12, okay, the turnaround is not as drastic as 2-14. Also, you look at the AFC East, I think there's one playoff team out of that division.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the AFC West, I mean, does San Diego take a step back? Does Kansas City take a step back? And then you look at the South, you know, total rebuild mode except for the Colts. And the AFC North, I think it's a transition time for them. Cleveland's rebuilding. Pittsburgh, I think they're trying to figure out, are they retooling or rebuilding? I think they should probably rebuild. Baltimore coming off a bad year, and then you'll never really believe in Cincinnati until they win a playoff game. So,
sure.
I think there's a lot of moving parts there. Where outside of Denver and New England, there's really nobody who you expect to establish themselves early.
Again, you can respond via Twitter to us, and we'll get to those a little bit later on the show. But we'll continue discussing Gil Brandt saying that he likes the Jags to be the surprise team to make the playoffs this year here in just a moment. And take a look not only at the AFC like we briefly did there, maybe a little bit more in depth, and look at that Jaguars schedule, and you talk about the Miami game and how crucial that is. what are the crucial periods in that schedule if the Jags are going to be a team that's competing for a playoff spot this year. So we'll take a look at that here in just a moment. I'm being joined by Ryan O'Halloran, Mike Dempsey on vacation all week long. I am Fat Tony. We'll continue here on Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios down here at Everbank Field here in just a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right. Rolling on here on a Tuesday.
Is that Paul Simon?
Yeah, it's me and Julio down by the schoolyard, I do believe. Yeah.
That's correct.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Paul Simon. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to take you a few.
Yeah. Yesterday it took us three songs, I think, and you were very disappointed in me. This isn't still like a birthday theme, is it?
Not birthday theme, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, that's good. Because you, yesterday on the show, Ryan, Lauren sent me an email before the show. My birthday is on Friday of this week, and she was like, "Happy birthday week." And I'm like, I'm an adult. I don't celebrate birthday week. I have a birthday that I barely acknowledge.
To me, that's translation of she thinks it's maybe Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Well, actually, what it was is apparently she felt like she was getting a lot of attention because her birthday is next Friday. Okay. And she's coming out for training camp with us next week instead of, working. She's going to come out and hang out with us on her birthday. And she
training
felt like
sort of working.
And she felt like we were giving her way too much attention, so she wanted to give me some for my birthday week. And I was oblivious to it. Like, I don't even think of it that way, but it is my birthday on Friday. Like I said, if you want to send the gifts, 9090 Hogan Road, care of Fat Tony, and I will pick them up a little bit later on in the week. But, don't know the theme yet. I'm sure we'll get to it. I'm glad it's not just more Dave Matthews music.
It's not that, although he's in the playlist, but only one time.
He's playing tonight down at the arena, and I know Jeff Prosser, and I know there'll be at least two people at the concert because that's how many people I know that are going at the bare minimum, but I'm sure it's going to be packed up.
And everyone else is in Alabama.
Yeah, everyone else is in Alabama for the media days. We'll get to more coverage of the SEC Media Days. Steve Spurrier speaking right now. Our coverage brought to you by Marine Max here on 1010XL 92.5 all week long. But turning our attention back to the National Football League and Jacksonville, Ryan. We talked about it a moment ago. Gil Brandt said last night on SiriusXM NFL Radio that he believes the Jags will be a surprise playoff team this year. One of those teams that didn't make it last year to make it in this year. Said that last night. Here's the clip.
Can I give you mine?
Sure, absolutely.
Jacksonville.
To make the playoffs?
Yep.
Wow. How strong is that limb that you're standing on, Gil?
It's about like Mr. Peter King's
there we go.
Detroit. But seriously, I'm going to write a story tomorrow, and Jacksonville is my team.
Wow. I think they'll be better, but the playoffs, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting for anybody right now to be picking the Jags to make the playoffs. And it was funny, his co-host there had basically the same reaction as you. When you walked in, I said, "Hey, Gil said we're going to make the playoffs." Ryan just goes, "Ha!" That was his reaction.
Yeah, I mean, Gil likes the direction because he likes teams who build through the draft. And you talk to him at the combine, at the owners' meetings and whatnot. He feels like, Dave and Gus are the two right guys for this franchise. It's one of those things where they tell him, hey, pick a surprise team and, say something to effect that's going to generate some attention. But I'll be interested to see his reasonings. I'm sure one of the big reasons is how they did get better in the offseason with their roster, and they play a schedule that is a lot friendlier than it was last year, where they played both the AFC and NFC West. So, but you look at the Jags schedule, the first four games, if they can get out of that 1-3, they're not, just be competitive. I mean, they didn't come within 17 points of a playoff team last year, so be competitive. And, If his prediction comes true, I'll send him a box of chocolates.
Of chocolates for
you. You are wise.
It's on the line now. But look, I think there are going to be some people that look at it and say maybe he's just trying to grab a headline. But you don't try to grab a headline with Jacksonville. You know, that's just not something you do in the National Football League, especially from a national perspective. When there are teams in the AFC that you could have mentioned that didn't make the playoffs last year that would grab a headline, he could have said the Jets. He could have said Miami. Those are both 8-8 teams from last year. He could have said Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Baltimore won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Pittsburgh was an 8-8 team last season. I mean, these are all the teams that he could have said that were close just a year ago, and instead he mentions the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I think his thing is got to be a team who lost more than 10 games last year.
Okay.
I mean, if you pick an 8-8 team, if you pick Baltimore as my surprise team to make the playoffs, I'm not even gonna click on it. I'm not even gonna read on it. You know, if he would have said Oakland and not Jacksonville, I would have clicked on it and said, okay, let's see how he justifies this one. So, yeah, so it's that time of year where you make lists about quarterbacks and you do power rankings and you mention surprise teams, but I think we're pretty safe in saying that Gil's going to be alone on that one.
Probably. Now, you made an interesting point there. 10 lost teams from last season. So I'm going to give you the list of teams in the National Football League that lost at least 10 games, and you tell me where you think the Jaguars are on that list among likely to make the playoffs. All right.
Okay.
I'm not saying that any of these teams are likely to, but compared to the other teams that lost 10 or more games, Washington was 3-13, Minnesota was 5-10-1, Tampa Bay 4-12, Atlanta 4-12. That's all the teams in the NFC. In the AFC, Buffalo was 6-10, Cleveland 4-12, Jacksonville 4-12, Houston 2-14, and Oakland at 4-12.
I think Tampa could turn around a little bit because they've made some decent additions, and you know that team went into implosion mode last year with Greg Schiano. But Minnesota's rebuilding. Washington stinks. Houston, if people thought Matt Schaub was their only problem, they're sorely mistaken. This team beat them twice. Tennessee, I don't think they're on that list, are they? They go 7-9.
Tennessee went 7-9.
But you look at those teams with 10 losses. One of those, you know, history dictates that one of those teams is going to make the playoffs, but I mean, I have a tough time making a case for any of them right now.
It's difficult to make a case for those teams. I think Atlanta, because of the quarterback, it seems that they don't have questions at quarterback, which a lot of those teams we were talking about do. That probably gives them an edge. But you mentioned Tampa Bay. The NFC South is brutal. I mean, if Carolina can maintain something close to what they were, and I think they're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how big that step is going to be. New Orleans is going to be what they were. I mean, they are. They haven't lost much. They got better on defense, actually, this offseason through free agency and the draft. So you would think New Orleans is going to be up there. The South is going to beat each other up. Can two or three of those teams make the playoffs this year? I'm just not sure. And you look at the other teams that we're talking about with 10 or more losses. Buffalo, who knows what they got in E.J. Manuel. Cleveland is a freak show right now at the quarterback position.
Looking at the list, I'd say most likely to make it a turnaround to go from double-digit losses to playoffs. I say maybe the Redskins, because of their division, is the Cowboys. You don't know what they're going to be like. The Giants added a ton of guys. I don't know how much better they got. And they have a new coordinator on offense. And the Redskins are at DeSean Jackson. They're not going to be able to stop anybody, but I think they're going to be able to outscore people. And that can be a way to improve quickly.
No, it could be. And, by the way, Washington plays Dallas, I do believe, this year in Week 17. And that is the key to winning the East. The key to winning the NFC East is playing the Dallas Cowboys in Week 17, as we've seen for the past half decade, basically. The National, like last year when people were questioning whether or not Philadelphia should be considered a legitimate contender in the NFC East, I was like, well, they played Dallas Week 17. Of course they're going to be in it, because someone has to embarrass the Cowboys.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where it's at.
No.
I mean, they've screwed up on their home field.
No, and the other thing about, you know, this kind of discussion when you're talking about the Jags being a surprise playoff team, we know that statistically about half the teams that make the playoffs get turned over every year in the NFL. So when you look at the AFC specifically, I think that we would all agree that Denver, New England are the two teams. It's tough to see a scenario where Denver and New England are not in the playoffs.
And I'd add Indy to that scenario.
Okay.
So I'd say half the field.
So then you have the other half of it. Cincinnati, yeah, there in the AFC North, has won the division the last couple of years. can they maintain that, or does somebody in that division catch them? And then in the West, I certainly don't think Kansas City and San Diego are making the playoffs. And then you start looking at the depth of the conference. If they're going to be turning over to maybe three teams in the AFC, then who is stepping into that void?
I mean, I don't think anybody in the AFC East, unless the Jets go with Michael Vick from the start, maybe they can get the 9 wins. As far as the AFC North, if that's a one, you know, to use an NCAA tournament analogy, if that's a one bid division, maybe Baltimore overtakes Cincinnati. So it's the key for a second team in the AFC South is, let's say it's the Jags, to get in contention. They got to sweep Tennessee, they got to sweep Houston, they got to at least split with Indy. Okay, that's 5 wins.
That's 5.
Okay, all you need then, you need to win 4 out of the rest. So, and that goes for any of those teams in that division besides the Colts if they want to be interested in December.
Well, if they could do that, if they got 5 wins in the division, I think that you are talking about a team that's in the middle of the wild card, because I get the sense that because of how mediocre the entire conference is, even more so than last year, I think that 8-8, 9-7 is going to keep you squarely in it when we get to week 16, 17. That week 16 game against mm-hmm. Tennessee could be looming huge if the Jags do keep themselves in this conversation all year.
Well, I don't think they're going to be in the conversation.
No, I honestly probably don't either. I think that, look, we've talked about it since we saw the schedule, since they've made the moves that they did in the offseason and through the draft. 6 or 7 wins mm-hmm. is where I think they're going to wind up. They're going to be better than they were last year because I think they're good enough that they could sweep Tennessee and Houston, but I don't think they will because I don't think they're good enough for any of us to assume that they will, even if I think they're good enough that they can.
Yeah, and you know, I've been floating between 5 and 6 wins because I think that Blake Bortles is going to start at some point, and that means your record could take a little bit of a step back as he gets experience late in the year. And but what the state of the AFC should show the Jags is, you know, 2015 being in contention isn't a pipe dream. If you take another season of development out of your current guys, another free agent period, another draft period, they got plenty of money to spend under the cap. So that's what they've been targeting all along, is that third year. And I think they're in a position where things aren't going to get too crazy this year.
No, and we've again talked about the idea of they drafted a guy who they didn't expect to have to start right away at the quarterback position. They draft 2 young wide receivers, and it usually takes about a year for those guys' heads to stop spinning when it comes to just understanding NFL offense and what they have to do to get open at this level of football. So you have these key parts of the offense probably coming together in 2015. Maybe you see some progress at the end of 2014, assuming they don't hit that rookie wall.
Well, if you're a fan, you should want to see progress in October and November from the receivers because, I mean, there's going to be pressure on them to perform, but there's not going to be like the weight of the offense on them to come in and be playmakers right away. You know, they're part of a rotation. They're going to get some touches, but we should see them making plays in the second half of the year, regardless who the quarterback is.
Do we still have Tom on the line, Lauren?
No.
Okay.
Tom?
We were going to go to the phones and say hello and talk a little Jaguar playoff with them. But again, that's the fan feedback spotlight question of the day.
Call back, Tom.
The Tom Bush family of dealerships. We're simply asking, do you think that the Jags will make the playoffs this season? Why or why not? We'll pick out a winner a little bit later on in the show and give them a Jaguars Today t-shirt. All right, going to get into Ron Jaworski, who, once again, releasing his annual list of the top 32 quarterbacks in the league, basically taking the starter from each team in the National Football League and ranking them 1 to 32, starting at the bottom. He has released at least his he's released enough that Chad Henne has been mentioned. Let's put it that way. Last year on the list, Chad Henne was number 29. Where does he come in on the list this year, and ahead of who? We'll let you know next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Coldplay here.
Yeah.
As we roll on here on a Tuesday on Jaguars Today, I am Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey on vacation all week long. I'm not sure where he is. jetting across this great nation of ours today.
So he is traveling?
But he is traveling. There's a family reunion at some point this week up in the Jersey area. I'm not exactly sure what. Ryan O'Halloran alongside me. We had, what did we have? Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. So we had.
Mm-hmm.
So this is speed of sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ha-ha! 2 days in a row. Going to song number three.
I don't even have a clue.
No, I'm just... Nope.
I love it.
Nope.
I can't wait until you figure it out and you're going to go, oh!
I'm sure we will. But, nope, don't have it yet. Don't have the theme yet. If you think you know the theme, you can tweet us. 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, or at Ryan O'Halloran. We're also taking your response to the question, do you think the Jags will make the playoffs in 2014 after what Gil Brandt had to say last night on Sirius XM NFL Radio? And we'll get back to that here in just a little bit. But right now, want to talk about another, we'll call it a power ranking, but it's Ron Jaworski ranking the quarterbacks in the National Football League. And last year on this list, baffled me when he had Chad Henne on the list instead of Blaine Gabbert. It told me everything I need to know about what Ron really thought of Blaine.
Because, like, last year at this time on Jaguars Today, we wouldn't have acknowledged the list because it was incorrect.
No. No, it was wrong because Chad Henne was not going to be the starting quarterback for the Jags, and I think everyone here in Jacksonville knew that. Basically, it was
except
an
for,
open competition.
Yeah, everybody expected that. Everybody thought that except for maybe Chad Henne, former coach Mike Chuckles Malarkey, and maybe one or two media members.
Yeah, but when you look back at last year's list, and I have it here in front of me, at number 32, Jaworski had Matt Flynn. You remember when Matt Flynn was supposed to be a starter for Oakland? Number 31, Jake Locker.
Matt Flynn didn't even make it the opening day.
No, he didn't. Number 30, Kevin Cobb. My goodness. And then number 29, Chad Henne on last year's list. Mark Sanchez just ahead of him. Christian Ponder at number 27. Brandon Whedon, 26. And Vic coming in at 25 on last year's list. On this year's list, which he's now releasing, the bottom of it looks like this. From the bottom up, you have Matt Cassel in Minnesota as the worst of the worst, according to Jaworski. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Houston at 31. We have Geno Smith with the Jets, so the Jets still down there at the bottom of the list. They drop a couple spots, though, at number 30 with Geno Smith. Number 29, the Tennessee Titans and Jake Locker at number 29. So he's moved up a couple spots from 31 to 29. Improvement, Tennessee. That's what you have to focus on. E.J. Manuel at number 28.
He'd be 32 on my list.
And then we have Chad Henne.
27.
Who moves up a couple spots to number 27 on the list this year. Now, it's basically the same teams populating the bottom of this list. It's just recycling kind of the order that he put them in there.
Yeah, rearranging deck chairs. I'll start at the bottom with Cassel. I don't think he even starts the opener. I think they're going to go with Teddy. New staff, might as well go with the new quarterback. And, you know, Cassel, does he make it as a number two, or is he behind Ponder and Bridgewater? I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is underrated. He's a guy that can sling it on occasion, and he came into the Titans-Jaguars game last year in Nashville, and the Titans basically changed their entire offensive game plan during a TV timeout for Fitzpatrick, and he was throwing short stuff, he was throwing medium stuff, and almost brought them back for a win. Geno Smith, Jake Locker, E.J. Manuel, you know, you can rearrange deck chairs there. Then you got Henne 27th. I'd be interested to see who 26 through 20 is because maybe I'd put Henne ahead of a couple of some other guys.
Maybe. Chad Henne, I don't – if you look at what, say, he and Fitzpatrick over there in Houston have done in their career, it's – hard to keep Henne ahead of Fitzpatrick. Honestly, when you look at, I'm not saying that Fitzpatrick is great. This is a guy that I remember looking at it a couple years ago when he was a free agent before he went to Tennessee last year, and looking at his stats and saying, look, they're not bad. He had a couple, three seasons, I think, where he had more than 20 touchdown passes, which 23, 24 touchdown passes would be a record here in Jacksonville if he could do that kind of thing. He turned the ball over quite a bit. He was always in like the teens when it came to interceptions. But what really caught my eye about Fitzpatrick was never in his career had he been better than 6-10 as a starter. Now, that was with Buffalo, and you can make fun of Buffalo if you want, but Buffalo was the type of team there 2010, 2011, 2012 that everyone was talking about as a potential dark horse playoff candidate. And every year under Ryan Fitzpatrick, they were going 6-10 with him being the starting quarterback. So to some degree, he was holding back that Buffalo team. He certainly didn't elevate them. And I think Chad Henne, in a lot of ways, is the same type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to keep both teams in the game, so to speak. A touchdown for every interception.
You don't want him to be your starter.
Yeah,
you just don't.
For more than a couple of weeks. Fitzpatrick, his career record, 27-49-1, 106 touchdowns, 93 interceptions. He signed that huge deal in Buffalo, and they cut him after 1 year. So he's a nomad at this point. He's been with St. Louis, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Tennessee, and now Houston.
So five teams.
Yeah, and so where it gets interesting is like one of these days, Jaws is going to drop a Kaepernick type statement like he did last year. Like could be one of the best quarterbacks ever. And so we'll see how that, you know, but it'll be the same kind of names. By comparison, Chad Henne, 18-32, 55 touchdowns, 62 interceptions.
55-62?
Mm-hmm.
So
he's more interceptions than touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you probably say Fitzpatrick's played with some better people.
Probably. And honestly, when we talk about the discussion of whether the Jags are going to make the playoffs, I think the fact that Chad Henne is their starter is the reason I don't think they can. I mean, in the end, I don't see a team with Chad Henne as the starting quarterback making a playoff run. I just can't imagine a scenario where that happens with a new offensive line, a new running back, and a bunch of young wide receivers.
Man, the only scenario is if they're completely lights out on defense and they can just run the you-know-what out of the ball on offense.
And as we were talking about on the break, if Indianapolis completely fell on their face and kind of opened up the division for those other three teams, then maybe Jacksonville can be good enough, like you said, on defense that they can step it up to that point. Because I think they can be pretty good on defense, but I'm still not sure their pass rush is better than Houston. I mean, they're going to be throwing J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney at guys every week and a healthy, for now at least, Brian Cushing. That's a lot more daunting than what Jacksonville can throw out.
Hey,
it is. There's, last Friday when we did the question of the day, I asked, we had previewed the AFC North. If you could have one player from each team in the AFC North, who would you want? Just steal him for the Jaguar roster. And I found Saturday, I was thinking about it. I was like, if I asked that question to a fan of Tennessee in the AFC South, who from Jacksonville are they like, I want that guy? I mean, realistically, who's the guy that you're looking at in Jacksonville saying, I'm going to poach them because we immediately get better with that guy off that roster on my team?
If you're a team, you take Jokel.
Probably.
If you're a team, you would take Gerhardt. Because I think he'd be an upgrade over a lot of guys. I mean, does New England's running game get better with Toby Gerhardt? Yes.
Maybe,
But they'll probably look at other places first, but
right.
I mean, Jokel.
But if you're still in a running back in the division, is that the running back you want? I mean, I'm just you're not going to take Arian Foster because you're probably taking J.J. Watt if you're looking at the Houston Texans in that kind of scenario. But it was striking to me. You know, we asked that, and I had a lot of Jaguar fans. And look, it's fine. You want to have a little bit of fun at Pittsburgh's expense because they were like, I don't want any of those Steelers. They're just old and useless. And I was like, all right, have a little bit of fun with the rival. And then I thought, well, if you reverse it, I mean, realistically, when you're looking at this roster, we all understand that there are pieces that they're trying to build around. But you mentioned Luke Jokel. Yeah, he's the number two overall pick. He played four games, didn't look great playing those four games at right tackle, played a pretty good quarter, basically at left tackle, and he was done for the rest of that season. So what is Luke Jokel? We really don't know. So when you're talking about this roster compared to other ones still, and that's where this whole playoff thing comes in, look, they have a long way to go and a lot to show us before we have a reason to believe that they're ready for those kind of heights.
Yes. And that starts with winning more than one game at home. it's called get within more than closer than 17 points to a playoff team. So we're going to find out a lot about this team in the first month of the season. Not so much wins and losses, but are they more competitive against teams that are more respected in this league? Because they go
sure
three road games, Philadelphia, Washington, San Diego, and they go three playoff teams during that stretch, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, San Diego. If they're 1-3, if they're 0-4, regardless, are they at least playing competitive games?
Yeah, and San Diego's a black hole. I mean, Jacksonville on the West Coast, it's been pretty well documented. It's not been kind to this franchise. A couple years ago, they should have won that game in Oakland if Chad Henne didn't play maybe the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback play in the National Football League. When Gabbert got hurt, he actually
blew a 2-touchdown lead in that game.
Right. I mean, Gabbert looked pretty good early in that game, and Henne came in, and it was as bad as I've ever seen a quarterback play in the National Football League. So they probably could have won that game against Oakland, but Oakland is not San Diego and Phillip Rivers, who have had the Jaguars' number, it seems, for the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. So that trip is a tough, tough one for the Jags, which puts them in a position where, look, if they're not going to watch their season from a playoff perspective, kind of circling the drain after 4 weeks, then they have to find a way to win a game on the road against Philadelphia or Washington. Washington probably the more likely of those two, given what we saw those teams look like last year, and then win a game at home against Indianapolis. It's that simple. That's what they have to do if the playoffs are going to be a serious consideration for the Jags.
Yeah, or just be if being interesting is going to be a possibility. You at least show up in September.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll see what they do.
But here's the thing, though.
They're going to be better.
Let's say they go 0-4, because I was thinking about this the other day when I was driving. It's like, okay, what's the first post game with Gus where I'm going to ask, is it time to go to Bortles?
Right.
I think it'd be 0-4 if they start 0-4.
If they're 0-4 coming off that trip to San Diego, yeah, that's about the time of year where that question will start getting thrown around. Thrown around.
I'll be happy to throw it.
I think the fans will be happy to hear it thrown at that point, too. I mean, if that is where the team is and they're not moving the ball that well on offense, then there'll be a lot of people that are throwing up their arms and going, then what's the point of this? We drafted a guy at number 3. Let's see what he's got. And if he can play, then he plays. But Chad Henne certainly isn't helping us at that point. Hopefully, we don't get there. I do think that the team's going to be more competitive than they were last year. They have to be more competitive than they were in the first half of the season. But I think it'll look more like the last 8 games for the entirety of 16 this year. How much that helps them in the win-loss column, I'm not sure. I think it'll be at least a couple of games when everything is said and done. But it is a tough stretch to open up the year for the Jags. And if they could go 2-2 in that, then that is vast improvement over where they were in 2013.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, if you have some success early, that gives some guys some confidence who haven't had a lot of success in this league. And then, you know, guys start playing freer. You're able to stick with game plans because you stay in games.
Sure.
You're starting able to use that pass rush, et cetera. So, you know, winning begat winning.
All right. We got the this date in football history is coming up next, and there's actually a guy that I like on this date in football history to talk about a little bit, so we'll get to that here in just a moment. You're listening to Jaguars Today, live from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here from Everbank Field. We're with you for another hour before we hand it over to Josie and Hacker for coverage of the SEC Media Days, brought to you by Marine Max. It's 4 teams in today. We'll keep you caught up on everything going on with SEC Media Days, again, coming up at noon today. But we continue with Jaguars Today. Take a look at this date in football history and Ryan's 20-20 series coming up next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks, here at 1010XL 92.5 FM, the Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. The 2014 Marine Max SEC Media Days are in full swing, and Florida head coach Will Muschamp talked to the boys at XL primetime yesterday, stating his confidence in the Gator offense.
This is the most talented offense we've had since I've been in Florida. We're deep and talented at receiver and running back. I feel very good about our first 7 offensive linemen. I think the talent after that is very good. I'm excited about what I'm seeing.
XL Primetime and the Frank Franchi Show with Rick Ballew continue our coverage from the Marine Max Media Days today, featuring coaches and players from South Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and Tennessee. Jags cornerback Will Blackman is one of six players heading to London this week to promote the three games that will be held there this season. And remember, single-game tickets are now on sale. With the world's largest video boards, cabana pool parties, and on-field seating, it is fantasy football for real. Buy your tickets now at Jaguars.com. Tonight on the Superstation, you will hear the Major League Baseball All-Star Game at 9 o'clock, following Miller on Sports with Richard Miller. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 10th and XL 92.5 FM, Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. More Jaguars Today with Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran is coming up next on your home for the Jaguars, 10th and XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. At Best Fence, the mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home. Your family will feel protected and you'll breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. Call them today at 904-268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. Three pretty big birthdays today in the NFL calendar. I'll go in order from least to most important, I guess. I at least know what the bottom one is, and it's still a pretty cool one. Carnell Lake was born this date in 1967. He spent the 1999 season here with the Jags playing safety. 1999, the best regular season the Jacksonville Jaguars have ever had. 96 is probably still the most revered season, but with the way 99 ended, Carnell Lake was a part of that team for 1 year.
He made his name in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay.
Made his name in Pittsburgh, and I actually was looking at his page on Pro Football Reference, and you know they do the fan Raider, basically, there at the top, the Elo Raider. And his all-time rank is 708, and there's a small little short-time Jags club there with he and one other guy who comes in at 709 as Aaron Campman is the next guy on that list right behind Carnell Lake. But Carnell Lake celebrating his birthday today and a couple of other birthdays. Both of these gentlemen have passed away in the meantime, but Gene Upshaw was born in 1945, the Hall of Fame offensive tackle for the Oakland Raiders, part of the NFL during that entire time, passed away, I believe, in 2008.
Yep, former head of the Players Association.
Yes, and my favorite of the guys celebrating a birthday today. In 1935, we were given Alex Karras, who...
Webster!
Yes, Webster. He was Mongo Only Pond in Game of Life from Blazing Saddles as well.
As a player, noted gambler.
Yes, a noted gambler. I think he was a five-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro, defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. He was back in the day when they didn't keep sacks as an official stat, so we really don't know how prolific a sack man he was. But we all know Alex Karras from his life after that on the screen. He passed away a couple years ago as well. But he would be celebrating his birthday today. So three pretty big ones for one day with Alex Karras, Gene Upshaw, and Carnell Lake all being born on this date in at least July 15th of those different years. But, man, Blazing Saddles, still one of my favorite comedies of all time. I will laugh all the way through it every single time that I put it on. It'll come in and out of theaters for like those one-day events, and I'll go sit down and watch it in the theater again. I love that movie. Mongo just completely cracks me up, man.
About Carnell Lake.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he played here.
1 year.
1 year, okay.
He was part of that 1999 run.
That's probably why... it hasn't come up. So.
Yeah, he was only here for the 1 year. He played in Pittsburgh for something like 10 or 11 years, came here for 1 year, and then was gone after the 1999 season. He had something like three and a half sacks that year. He didn't get a pick, I don't think, as a Jacksonville Jaguar, but he had a handful of sacks that year for that 99 team. Man, that 99 team was so good. So good, and probably isn't remembered as well as it should be because of the way everything ended that year with the AFC Championship game against the Tennessee Titans and Steve McNair and A lot of people questioning the game plan in the second half of that game and going away from Fred Taylor a little bit. But 1999 was a special season for the Jags until it came to an end. And I think they were good enough that they were probably going to win a Super Bowl championship if they could get past that hurdle that was Tennessee. It just didn't happen for them. They go 14-2 and lose three times to Tennessee in 1 year, which explains all the animosity you may have seen for the Tennessee Titans in your time here covering the team just in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I guess it dissipated a little bit with Jeff Fisher's departure.
Yeah, it did.
But, you know, now need some new rivalries in this division.
Yes, we do. Hopefully they will be developing over the next several years as Indianapolis seems to have a stranglehold on this thing, at least for now, because of how bad the other three teams are. We were talking about the quarterback rankings. Chad Henne comes in at 27, good enough to be the second-best quarterback in this division, according to Ron Jaworski, which tells you all you need to know about why these teams are where they are in the power rankings as well. The power rankings might as well just be, here are the quarterback rankings 1 through 32 in the National Football League in some sense or fashion.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys on this list toward the bottom half of the list are may not be the starters on opening day, may not be the starters in week 8 or 9. So a lot of short-term bridge guys. Houston's going to be interesting because you sort of knew, I mean, they made the right decision, go with Clowney, and they pass in the second round, third round, and then they go finally with Tom Savage, who was the flavor of the week leading up to the draft and falls all the way down back to reality. I mean, what is Houston's angle? Do they have their eyes on somebody next year? Do they think Savage can be their guy? I mean, if they're 4-8 or something like that, do they go to him for the last four games, two of which include games against the Jaguars? So there's a lot of unknowns about the quarterback spots with all these teams who have drafted guys in the last one or two years.
Mm-hmm.
When's the right time to play them? You know, can that be delayed by the fact that you may sneak your way into contention for a wild card? So, I've wavered on Bortles. Said week 8, maybe week 12. I think we see him at some point this year.
I think we see him at some point this year too. And I tend to think, I believe the team is going to be good enough that you're not going to see it until after the bye week. After the trip to London and all, mm-hmm. I think that the team is good enough that you're not going to see it until that point in the year. Because, honestly, what I've seen from Blake Bortles to this point in the offseason makes me think that he may need, you know, that 2.5-3 months to really be ready to step into that kind of role. And I think that the Chad Henne thing is more about wanting to make sure that they do right by Blake Bortles than caring if they do right by Chad Henne.
It's all about Bortles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Bortles was ready tomorrow, if he showed up for training camp next week and looked like whatever mechanical issues he was having, if the footwork was together, if everything was right for Blake Bortles, I think it would be hard for this team not to put him on the field. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No. I mean, other than injury, there's, you know, the only scenario is that Chad Henne can't throw it.
Yeah.
You know, he's just totally lost it. He's got the yips. But, yeah, so it's all, you never know when a guy's going to be ready to go. They're just going to have to close their eyes and throw a dart at the board and say, okay, this is our best guess. If it's week 8, week 12, week 13, then just go for it. Start looking ahead to 2015.
You've been doing your 20-20 series, getting people ready for training camp opening up next week, and there hadn't been a quarterback question on there yet. Is it one of the last nine?
Saving the big ones for later. It'll be one of the last three or four.
Okay. Okay. I'm sure we'll get to that. We'll talk to you about that next week when you get that written up. But the most recent one that you wrote was about Sendarek Marks.
Mm-hmm.
And last year when he was on the field for this team, really set up any kind of pass rush that they had. It was about his ability to disrupt the interior of that line of scrimmage. And because of how good he was, because of injuries to that defensive tackle position and depth that they didn't have on that defensive line, Sendarek was asked to play a lot more than I think even the Jags wanted to ask him to play. He got the contract. He got paid at the end of last season as well. Which is not something you see the Jags do a lot, sign a guy in free agency and then reward him with a deal after they see him for a year. But what do you think has to happen Do you think the team wants to use Cinderic less than they did last year, given how good he was on the field? And what is the picture for making sure that they can do that and still be effective on the defensive line?
Sure. Is a couple parts on that is they do want to cut down Marks' his playing time. He played 83%, 931 out of 1120, staggering amount for an interior defensive lineman. So I said in the blog post, if they can cut it down to 70% of snaps, that's only eight fewer snaps a game. That's basically two possessions, so one per half. For start of the second quarter, you're taking a break, like the defensive ends do. So to do that, you have to feel like you're replacing him with a player who is just as good. I think they feel like Ziggy Hood is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
4 years, $16 million, so they're sort of paying him like a tweener. He's not, you know, he'll get starter type reps without being listed as a starter. Get Roy Miller back, who fought a shoulder injury through most of last year. They finally shut him down the last couple weeks. He had surgery. Move Tyson Alualu from end to tackle. So Avery Jones, second-year guy, I think he's in the mix to be a part of that rotation. So they've added bodies there to recognize, okay, Cinderic had a great year, but he can be even better if he plays less. So come off the field in some third downs. You know, come off the field in some first and second downs and put him on the field in third downs so he's fresh for that pass rush. So I think they have a lot more options to mix and match both at both end spots and also both tackle spots. So I'd be stunned if he plays as much as he did last year because, A, I think this defense is not going to be on the field as much as they were last year. They'll be better on third down. And also they have other guys who can give him a break.
And which goes to the bigger question for the team and basically what this offseason plan was, especially in free agency, which was to get that defensive line better. To shore it up with all the faces, the names they brought in. We've been talking about these guys for months now. The first question, I do believe, in your series was about this pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the optimism inside this building and from the fan base for how much this thing has improved as far as getting after the passer is legit. Do you think that it is?
I think it remains to be seen because the big thing about rushing the quarterback is you have to get into situations where you can do it. The run defense has to be better. It's bottom line. They can't be in second and short, third and one, et cetera, because that teams will just run it. And the Jags know it. So if they signed Red Bryant with the specific reason they needed to get better against the run. Having Roy Miller back healthy makes them better against the run. You know, you look at the last eight games of last year, they had 20 sacks. You go over a full season, that's 40. So you go from 31 to 40, or 34 to 40. So if they can go 40 sacks, that's more than two a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a nice improvement. And that's what they're sort of hoping for is, can they match last year's second half improvement? Clemens, he was a bonus addition. They thought that when the Seahawks released Red Bryant, they were going to find a way to keep Chris Clemens. The Jaguars re-signed Jason Babin, not thinking Chris Clemens be out there.
Sure.
So Clemens provides a pass rush. You know, then you know, Andre Branch another year. Can he do some of the things? Can he take his game to another level?
But we need to step aside here in just a moment as we make some room for Hal Habib's going to come on and talk Dolphins with us as we continue our look around the National Football League this week, focusing on the AFC East. But looking at the defensive line and when Cinderic has to come off the field for those series, who do you think is the most likely candidate to come on for him? Because Avery Jones was used more as kind of a pass rush guy when they wanted to basically bring on that NASCAR package last year. Is it Ziggy Hood? Is it Tyson Alualu? Who's coming on for him?
Hood's your number. Hood is going to be the first guy in.
Okay.
But then they'll use Tyson a little bit. And I think Avery, depending on the matchup that week, if they play a team that's a little more pass happy, he could be in there because you know he does. He's a big guy, and that's what they need. They need some bulk in there. So Hood, I'm interested to see what Hood does because he's playing a new position. But they like some of the things he did with his quickness during the camp. You could see it on that first step. I mean, not going to run a foot race because he's not supposed to, but he's going to be able to. They think he's going to be able to knife between that center guard to disrupt the running play.
Yeah, and they're hoping that he's more comfortable running this kind of defense than he ever was in Pittsburgh. He just wasn't comfortable in that 3-4 that Pittsburgh was asking him to play in after they drafted him in the first round. And they're hoping that first round talent shows up to some degree. Again, it's one of those questions we have about exactly how everything's going to look when you put it together. There's a lot of optimism, and I think there's reason for that optimism. We're just not sure what the answer to a lot of these questions are and won't be until we get to October, November, really, about what this team is going to be. All right, let's get ready for Hal Habib. He's going to come on, talk a little Miami Dolphins football with us, as this is a team in Miami that is consistently ranked below the Jaguars, or right around the Jags, at least, on power rankings going into this season. This is a team that went 8-8 last year. Is it deserved? Have they done enough to improve to maybe catch a wild card spot in the AFC? We'll talk to Hal Habib about that next here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The Jaguars have a new radio home.
That is the number one thing.
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Starts with winning, quite frankly.
The Jacksonville Jaguars and 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Still lost. Now I get Bullet Blue Sky to add to the list. Welcome back to Jaguars Today. I'm Fat Tony, filling in for Mike Dempsey this week. Ryan O'Halloran is wandering around the building, but he'll join me here any moment as we're going to get to a preview of the Miami Dolphins here in just a second. But first, the Jaguars Today, one of our sponsors is Foundation Professionals. Is your home's foundation letting you down? Your home is your greatest investment. Protect it. The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair company. Know the symptoms: exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and door stick, foundation cracks, and sloping floors. Let Foundation Professionals give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They will work with your insurance company, and financing is available, licensed and insured. Just call 904-287-2690 or log on to www.foundationprosfl.com. That's prosfl.com. With that, let's turn our attention to the National Football League and the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins in particular, as I welcome him, Hal Habib, who covers the Dolphins and all of Miami sports for the Palm Beach Post. Hal, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes. And look, this is a Dolphins team that is not getting a lot of respect nationwide, maybe in part because of the chaos they had to deal with in the locker room last year. But as you watch this team and the development of this roster, it all comes down to the quarterback position and Ryan Tannehill. Do you think that he's ready to take a big step forward in 2014?
I think it's possible, but I don't know if anybody can really predict, because, geez, the guy was sacked 58 times last year. He spent more time looking at the sky than he did his receivers. So how can anybody really judge how good Ryan Tannehill is or isn't based on what we've seen so far? A couple of things that concern me, I'd have to start with his accuracy when he throws deep. We've seen a lot of those passes, particularly to Mike Wallace, just, you know, fall incomplete. So it's so hard to say. I mean, he's an athletic guy, and I think that the new offensive coordinator is going to let him use that athleticism a little bit more than Mike Sherman did last year. But there's just so many unknowns right now, and we're just going to have to wait and see behind that rebuilt offensive line whether he can stay upright.
Hey, Hal, speaking of that offensive line, what's Pouncey's status?
Well, I mean, he can't seem to stay out of his own way, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting with that fiasco with the Caps last summer and everything else that went on, his role in the bullying scandal and the hazing. And then from there, you know, it turns out he's got the bad hip that's going to probably keep him out for about a month, we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And then there was an incident, you know, just this past couple of days on Miami Beach at he and his brother's birthday party. Now, nobody really knows whether he was in the wrong or whether he was a victim in that one. But I think when you add it all up, you get a guy who is a really good player, a Pro Bowl player, but sometimes he just makes some bad decisions. And I think, you know, from the outside looking in, it's easy to really take a look at Mike Pouncey and scratch your head. He's he doesn't come across as a bad guy at all. He's always a jovial guy, easy to talk to, and it's just a weird thing. He's got to grow up. He's got to make better decisions, and he's got to know that he's now the leader on that unit, and people are going to look up to him. He's got to act like that.
Hal, this Miami team brings in Brandon Albert in free agency, obviously a big signing for them. But the one that people paid the most attention to was Knowshon Moreno coming over from Denver to the backfield for the Dolphins, and the reports have been pretty unfavorable about him out at practice. It sounds like he's not going to be able to hold off Lamar Miller for that starting job. What have you seen from him over the course of this offseason, and do you think in the end he is going to be able to get that starting job in Miami?
To answer the last part, I would say yes, he is going to be starting, I believe. He's been put in a really awkward and unfortunate position. And actually, I was put in an unfortunate position, too, when I wrote about him not too long ago. He went through OTAs and minicamp, particularly minicamp, and he was in this no-man's land where he was out there, he was dressed out, but he was only taking a few snaps here and there, and then he'd go off on the side and start running by himself. And he wasn't getting training, treatment from the trainers. So everybody's kind of looking at it wondering, is the guy in shape? Is he just not that good anymore? If he's hurt, then why is he out there running? Why is he not getting treatment? There are so many unknowns, and I talked to him about it, and he was kind of elusive, evasive about it all. And you kind of got the picture that he wasn't as advertised. And that wasn't really fair to Moreno, because in the end, after everything had wrapped up and everybody had gone on vacation, we come to learn that he had this knee injury, and that was behind his inactivity this summer. It wasn't necessarily that he showed up out of shape or just had lost his touch. And I think that's a real issue. I mean, you know, if I were running an NFL team, I would be secretive about injuries as well. I mean, it's not really to your benefit to blab all of that more than what the league requires. But on the other hand, it can put athletes in a really awkward position where fans want to know, why is this guy slacking off, so to speak, when in fact he's not slacking, he's just injured. So I think Moreno is going to catch up. Miller didn't really have a very good year at all last year. He had half as many yards as he predicted he'd have. I think he can be beaten out for that position, and I think he will be.
Hal, you mentioned the Moreno thing. It leads me into my next question. I was going to ask you about Joe Philbin, who to me comes off as being completely in over his head. I saw that on Hard Knocks, first-year coach, obviously, but last year, you know, doesn't know what's going on in his locker room, and now the story you relate is that's a coach throwing his player under the bus by not at least telling, say, hey, this is why he's sitting on the side. He's nervous and some stuff, but he's going to be ready for camp. Just be a little more transparent. It helps your players. On Philbin, do you see any reasoning why he can become a successful NFL coach?
Well, I think it's possible. He's certainly a man of integrity. I don't think anybody, even his staunchest critic, could dispute that he's got a lot of integrity. He wants to do well. He cares about his players. He's got a lot of qualities that I could see, you know, Steve Ross, the owner of the team, looks at and respects. On the other hand, we were at the NFL meetings in Orlando, and everybody came out of there talking about how coaches have to have control of their locker room. They have to know their players. They have to really know what's going on with their team. And I think that all of the best coaches, starting with the guy up in New England, I think all of those guys filled those qualities very well. Did Philbin have any idea what was going on in his locker room last year? Obviously not. And the fact of the matter is, we as reporters are in that locker room for, 45 minutes, maybe an hour per day during the season. And I can tell you that during that entire season last year, not once did I see Joe Philbin in that locker room. And, the players all said, this is our locker room, the coaches don't belong here. I think guys like Jeff Fisher would really have an issue with that kind of statement.
No doubt. And Hal Habib joining us here to talk about the Dolphins. He covers them for the Palm Beach Post. And Hal, they make the move last year to get Deion Jordan in the first round. Didn't have a great rookie year. Really didn't bring what I think they thought they were getting with Deion Jordan to put on the other side of a guy like Cameron Wake. And then he gets suspended for the first four games of this season. What is the level of frustration with Deion Jordan right now in Miami?
I think it's starting to grow. You know, for a good part of last year, I could sympathize with Deion because he came in, he was injured when he first got here, didn't really have a training camp as a rookie, and they wound up throwing him out there, and early in the season, they sort of turned him loose, and in the Atlanta game, he had a big play that actually clinched that victory for them, and that was part of their 3-0 start. And things seemed to be progressing pretty well for him, and then somewhere along the way, they got the idea that he was such an athletic guy that they were going to have him drop into coverage and pass protect or pass cover an awful lot. And I think that for a guy who didn't have a training camp and is a rookie just learning the ropes, they threw an awful lot at him. And if you draft a guy number three overall and you recognize him first and foremost as a pass rusher, and he tells you that that's what he's most comfortable doing, why would you not let him concentrate on that, get that down, as Jason Taylor did when he was coming into the league, and then throw all those extra bells and whistles later on? So he had all of that working against him, and now, you know, he tried to put on a little bit of weight and make himself more prepared for year two in the NFL, and then he makes this colossal mistake that ends up costing him four games. So is he going to pan out? Is he going to prove worthy of where he was drafted? Boy, that's a good question right now.
Interesting defense, Hal. A lot of sacks last year, a lot of interceptions. Then they add Finnegan and Delmas on the back end. I mean, it's early to tell me. What do these guys have left in the tank?
Well, you know, particularly with Finnegan, I think that's a key acquisition there because, you know, obviously at one corner they're all set with Brent Grimes, no problems there. He's one of the best. With Finnegan, I've actually talked to Jeff Fisher in Orlando about him, and you know Fisher said that it all depends. He chalks up last year to Finnegan being injured most of the year, and so we never really saw the Finnegan of a couple of years ago when he was a Pro Bowl player. And Fisher's take is that if Miami is getting a healthy Finnegan, that they've got themselves a cornerback. But, you know, if you talk to Finnegan, he's the most confident guy around, and he says he's going to be back to that level again. And if he is, then Miami should have a pretty decent secondary. If not, you know, then the gamble of letting Dimitri Patterson walk is one that's going to blow up in their faces. I personally thought that when Patterson was healthy, he contributed an awful lot, even though he missed a good chunk of the year. He still was among the team leaders in interceptions, made a lot of plays. I don't know. Maybe they just never saw him holding up over a 16-game season. But if it were me, I would have held on to Patterson.
Just a minute or two left here with you, Hal. Where do you think the Dolphins fit into the AFC East and the AFC picture in general? Is this a team that can push for a wild card spot this year, or is that too lofty for the Dolphins?
I think they can push for a wild card spot as they did last year. They came very close and then fell on their faces those last two games. You know, it would be just a pipe dream to say that they're going to surpass New England for the division. That's just not going to happen. But I think Miami will be better this year, but is it going to be good enough to save Philbin's job and make the playoffs? Boy, if I had to predict, you know, this early, I would say probably they're going to fall short again.
And if there's one Miami team I feel pretty confident saying is not going to be better than last year, it is the Heat. What has the reaction been like down there in South Beach to LeBron choosing Cleveland?
I think the reaction overall is about 180 degrees from what the reaction was 4 years ago in Cleveland. I mean, if you look at the reaction from Pat Riley, Dwayne Wade and company, it's basically, you know, thanks for the memories, glad we had these 4 years together. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens when LeBron comes down to the AAA to play his first game as a member of the Cavaliers again. I would think that he's going to get a fairly warm welcome. I think after what he's done down here, he deserves it. MVPs, two title rings and all. It'd be sad if he got booed like crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. We'll see. Just a few months away from finding out.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Next couple of months going to really get interesting in the sports world for everybody, I would say.
All right, Hal, we'll see you in October when you come up here to Jacksonville.
All right, looking forward to it.
All right, thanks.
All right, that is Hal Habib. Covers the Dolphins and all sports there in the Miami area for the Palm Beach Post. We appreciated him coming on, joining us for a few minutes to talk about some Dolphin football. And it's funny for Dolphins fans who get tired of, I think, people kind of taking their shots at the Dolphins right now, given how the roster's put together. When you start talking to somebody about it, there are all these issues on that roster right now with Deion Jordan and what is the defense really going to look like. There's some confusion even in the front seven as to what it's going to be for this Miami Dolphin team. They have this controversy with the free agent running back that they bring in, and no Sean Moreno. Is he good enough to take that job or not from a very underwhelming Lamar Miller? And by the way, no Sean was a guy that was very underwhelming before Peyton Manning got to Denver. So how good is he, really, as he comes down to that Miami team? And, of course, Ryan Tannehill is a guy who was converted from wide receiver to quarterback just 3 years ago, and they drafted him in the first round. So there are all these questions about the Dolphins, and in the end they feel like a team that the ceiling is about 8-8, that's about as good
they're
as
nowhere
they're going to be. Right,
yeah.
And it's that no man's land of the NFL where we have this bunch of teams. You'll have those four or five teams that you feel really good about every year. These teams are going to be good. We don't have questions about how good these teams are going to be. You have that handful of teams like Oakland. They're going to suck. You know they're going to be bad. And Jacksonville, it feels like, is right there at the top of that kind of, we know they're going to be pretty badless, moving into the vast wasteland of we might be able to go 8-8 in the NFL, which is probably a group of about 20 teams, and that's right there solidly where Miami is right now.
Yeah, new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, new general manager. So they're trying some different things. It's just it doesn't seem like a team that is close to being able to put it together. And that's what Hal said. I mean, even if they are a little bit better, you know, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs.
All right, taking a look at your responses to the fan feedback spotlight question. We'll get into that next. We ask you, do you think the Jags are going to make the playoffs in 2014, and why or why not? Get your responses in right now via Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Lauren, also on Facebook at the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll take a look at some of those responses and discuss that next, right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. This would be a little AC/DC. We finally figured this thing out. This is a ball breaker. And the theme is the Home Run Derby. We had, what was it, Yard? With
me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Speed.
Speed of sound.
Speed of sound.
Bullet into the blue sky.
Bullet to blue sky. And now we got ball breaker.
And it was a good effort by Lauren. It was much better effort than the Home Run Derby was last night, which was just pathetic.
Thank you.
I turned it several times. It's a stupid event.
The Home Run Derby is one of those things. I'm a big baseball fan, love the game. It's my favorite game on the planet. And every year I make fun of the Home Run Derby. I talk about how terrible the Home Run Derby is and how much they need to improve it. And every year I find myself watching at least part of the Home Run Derby.
Well,
it happens.
I mean, I can give them the first suggestion on how to make it better. Make it shorter.
Yeah.
Two rounds. You know, six guys.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying now going into seven outs and blah, 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 blah.
Make it five.
It's still just too long. And last night wasn't helped by the fact that they had an hour rain delay.
Yeah, well, and
before the entire thing.
It's never going to be what you get when your leader is Berman.
And, yeah. Back, 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 back. Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, the ball is going out of the stadium, Chris.
Yeah, it's the worst.
That's kind of the point. I liked the tweet. I think it was Brandon Natus. That said, the NFL season is going to start before the home run derby ends.
Let's think about that.
And you know, it's a great night for a home run derby when it's about 60 degrees and rainy. Ugh. That is perfect conditions for major leaguers to show off their stuff up there in Minnesota. But look, it's the home run derby. Every year I will continue to make fun of it, and every year I will watch at least part of it, because what else am I doing on Monday night of All-Star Week? Tonight I'll be plugged in for all 9 innings of the All-Star game. I will be cheering on Derek Jeter, whose uniform I hate, but I have a lot of respect for the man that wears the uniform. So I'll definitely be checking out the All-Star game tonight. I always watch the All-Star game. So,
yeah, what else is on tonight?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's Tuesday.
Kill for a South Korea-Algeria group stage match.
There's kind of a big deal of a concert, but that's not on TV.
Oh, Dave
actually,
Matthews.
You know what? I read somewhere that the concert will be live tonight on Live Nation.
Oh,
I'll
really?
Research that.
Huh. How about that? Yeah, we'll have to check that out. But right now, let's get into the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Ask Jaguar Fans What Drives You Today and the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight. We ask you, do you think the Jags are going to make the playoffs in 2014? Because Gil Brandt does, as he said last night on SiriusXM NFL Radio. So we wanted to know if you thought the Jags were making the playoffs this year. Why or why not? Some of the responses we got via Twitter from Christoph, I don't think we will, but I think there are too many questions on the offensive line, but it would be nice to be surprised. From Paul, not likely. We'll win 8 games tops. Once Bortles is ready next season, though, we'll be AFC South champs. From Sean, no. Not with a revamped offensive line, half the wide receivers are rookies, and the team is inexperienced. From Bubba Gump, hell yes, Jags make the playoffs. I'd bet a Jaguars Today t-shirt on it, but I don't have one yet. Hashtag pandering.
I think we have a favorite.
Hashtag not ashamed. From Iris Jag, we can dream, but I doubt it. Being still in the race on week 16-17 would be a huge improvement. From Cam, as much as it breaks my heart, no. Solid defense, but O-line is biggest concern. From Joshua, as much as I would like it, no way. We are a year or two away from it. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag free stuff. Hashtag go Jags. From Harold, yes. The only team on the schedule that could be touted as significantly better is the Eagles. Hashtag Jaguars Today. I think there'd be some people that would argue with you there, Harold, but we asked for an opinion. From Brandon, no. As of right now, just too many better teams ahead of us. Winning our division should be goal number one. Hashtag Jaguars Today. And from Jason on Twitter, doubtful. Despite all of the good that has come out of this offseason, Henny will inevitably go Henny. Hashtag Jaguars Today.
Not bad.
And then on Facebook, we got a few. Let me read a couple of these. From George, as fans, we want success. We want playoffs and championships. With a young team like we got, the playoffs may not happen. The improvement we see may lead to winning seasons in the future. If a few things happen, we might squeak into the playoffs. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Chaz sent us basically an essay on what he thought. I'm not going to read through all of that, but it was a good post. And he capped it by saying, hashtag the only Jags fan in Cali. They got an L.A. chapter of the BCB, bro. Chaz, you got to check them out while you're out there in Cali, the Bold City Brigade. But maybe my favorite of the day comes on Facebook from Alan, who says, don't expect it this year. Hoping for 6 to 8 wins at best would take miracle or injuries to the Colts for us to sneak in this season. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag shut up, Randy. Hashtag free shirts rock. Here we go. Hashtag go Vanderbilt. Hashtag don't go Yankees. Now, if Mike was here, he would eliminate you immediately for the Yankees comment. I do not eliminate anyone for hating on the New York Yankees. I will nominate Alan as our winner today of the Jaguars Today t-shirt. And Lauren will get in touch with you to let you know how you can pick up that shirt, as long as you haven't already won one, which she has the list. She knows best. And I know we've been talking about it all day regarding whether or not this team is going to make the playoffs. And I think we're both on the same page. I don't think the Jags are making the playoffs in 2014. I think it's realistic to expect that they can compete for one in 2015, but in 2014, I think it's just too much to ask.
Yeah, too big of a leap. Too many teams in front of them. You know, the goals for this year is competitive, win a couple more games, see what you find out about which players you can move forward with, which players are just bridge guys to get you through this year, and then, you know, start assessing that free agent crop, and then the draft again. So it's a big process, and, you know, if you're that would be my thing to watch is, okay, do guys up their level of play compared to last year?
Sure.
Are they more consistent? Do they make more big plays?
And that's my expectation for this season. If they gave us more than that, all the better. That would make it that much more fun. If they were getting more competitive and winning games at the same time, it'd be great.
I mean, from a fan's perspective, the second half of last year was a bonus. I mean, fans wanted them to get a win. Then when they won at Houston, it was like fans were probably like, okay, two wins, okay, that's enough. You know, number one pick now. Well, then they got two more bonus wins. So, you know, if they can at least play some of those interesting games, that'll get fans to come to this stadium.
Sure. And that'll do it for us today. I want to say a thank you to Ryan O'Halloran for joining me here for Jaguars Today. We'll see you again next week as we'll be on the eve of Jaguar training camp. By the time we talk again, and your 20-20 series will be just about done.
Mercifully wrapping up.
And maybe we'll get to that quarterback question by the time you join us in studio.
Will. I'll make sure we do.
And thank you again to Joe Fortunato, to Lauren Brooks back in the studio. Before we step aside, we have a giveaway today. If you want to go see the Jacksonville Suns on Thursday night as they play Pensacola, the game is at 7:05. We'll have the tickets for you at the station. All you have to do if you want a pair of those tickets is be caller number 3 right now to 641-1010, and Lauren will hook you up with an opportunity to go see the Jacksonville Suns. Right now we're going to turn it over to coverage of SEC Media Days. Our coverage all week here on 1010XL 92.5 FM is brought to you by Marine Max. Joe C. and Hacker are live from Hoover as day 2 of SEC Media Days rolls on. I will rejoin you tomorrow. T-Wig going to join me tomorrow as we talk some Jaguar and NFL football here on Jaguars Today from 10 to noon. Until then, enjoy the coverage of the SEC Media Days, again brought to you by Marine Max on 1010XL 92.5 FM.